This is WSBT's Community Update on 96.1 WSBT.
Good morning. I'm John Hoffman. Here's a recap of some of the leading stories from the past week. The amount Indiana spends on each public school student is 47th in the country, according to a National Education Association report. But what about the $750 million in additional funding state lawmakers passed back in April? WSBT 22's Tolly Taylor takes a look.
Obviously, the government we have now doesn't value public education.
Representative Ryan Dvorak is reacting to a National Education Association report that shows Indiana spent about $8,700 per student in 2016-17, ranking the state 47th in the country. That number actually dropped a year later. When the NEA looked at how much Indiana's spending changed compared to other states, it ranks dead last. As I reported last week, there's disagreement about the NEA's numbers. But Indiana State Teachers Association President Keith Gamble says the education budget state lawmakers passed in April has clues that explain what happened between 2016 and 2018.
There is a gleaning off of education dollars from public schools into charter and vouchers. And that's what's driving that number to go down.
I wanted to check Gamble's statement for myself. So I started by comparing the increase in funding for public schools versus charter and voucher programs. Between 2018 and 19, public school education funding went up by about 1.3%. Charter and voucher funding increased by 2.2%. I then looked at numbers given to me by the Nonpartisan Legislative Services Agency for next year. Public school funding will increase by a little more than 2%, but charter school and voucher funding will grow by almost 10%. St. Joseph County Representative Dale Devon says state dollars follow students. He says the reason charter and voucher programs are getting more money is simple. Devon says more students are leaving public schools.
So you see more kids going that direction, so the numbers are going to look higher because there's more kids with the money following the child.
Dvorak says charter schools perform worse on average than public schools, and the voucher program just gives money to private or religious schools. He says the result is that educational achievement suffers statewide.
They're running our state as if it's a science experiment. And the problem is the lab rats are our children.
Dvorak says some kids in South Bend go home without someone to greet them off the bus, without the same bed from night to night, let alone a parent who's able to help them with homework. He says kids facing these situations need more help in their education, and that costs more money. South Bend Superintendent Todd Cummings says the district has had about 5,000 students leave through voucher programs.
We have about 5,000 students who use vouchers. That costs us real dollars.
Here's what he's talking about. When the district does a student count at the beginning of the year, it's often down about 200 students. Using numbers provided by the Indiana Department of Education and LSA, that means anywhere from $1.22 million to $1.34 million less for the district. Whichever number you use, Cummings says schools are left to make these adjustments.
We may hire fewer teachers, class sizes may increase, non-certified folks, paraprofessionals who support our students, we may hire less of those. We may continue with building maintenance being deferred.
South Bend schools are estimated to get an increase of a little over $200,000 in 2020, but lose about $400,000 in 2021. South Bend Chamber President Jeff Ray says businesses focus on education and workforce when deciding where to locate. He says they've definitely noticed the struggling public schools in Indiana. The Bogo Community School Corporation says political and religious materials were removed from the classroom of a longtime Jimtown High School social studies teacher following a complaint from a local atheist group. Northern Indiana atheists gave notice to the school district of their intent to file a complaint over signs and bumper stickers on the wall of Mike Hosinski's classroom.
They said things like, "Proud to be a conservative and choose life. Your mom did." The signs were on the wall of Mike Hosinski's classroom, and this atheist group released the pictures this past Friday, and it's created a firestorm of controversy online, so much so that the school decided to step in.
Bible quotes and anti-abortion bumper stickers are off the walls of Mike Hosinski's classroom at Jimtown High School. The Bogo Community School Corporation said in a statement they were taken down following a complaint by the Northern Indiana Atheist Group.
Teachers should know better.
The group says it received a complaint from the family of a student. The complaint reads in part, quote, "Mike Hosinski told the class Hillary and Obama are criminals, President Donald Trump is great, and Democrats are liars." They also released pictures of signs hanging on the walls in his classroom promoting conservative and Christian ideas.
He had a sign that literally said, "Liberalism is a mental disorder." I mean, how does that contribute to any kind of conversation. It doesn't. It's rude. It should not be in a public school classroom.
Hozinski is a longtime social studies teacher and has received overwhelming support from former and current students online.
Mr. Hozinski was very supportive of everybody's opinions, and if he wanted somebody to have, like, a Hillary one or a Pete Buttigieg one or anything like that, he would have completely applied to that and put it on the other side.
Former student Zoe DeVol says Hozinski didn't hide his conservative and religious views in the classroom. Both the school corporation and DeVol say some of the signs were contributed by students. She says it gave some people pause, but nothing to the extent that it is now.
It was a thing when we were sophomores, like, oh, Mike Hozinski did this, or, oh, did you hear what Hoz said? But that was it. I mean, it was never a thing that was degraded upon.
The atheist group says it has received an additional dozen or more complaints about Hozinski since the news broke over the weekend. The school corporation says in a statement it will, quote, continue to ensure that teaching techniques in our schools do not violate civil liberties and a clear separation between church and state is honored.
And we attempted to contact Hozinski, but we weren't able to reach him. Northern Indiana Atheist says it will be filing formal complaints with the Freedom from Religion Foundation. The school corporation says this is now a human resources issue and therefore is confidential.
WSBT 22's Max Lewis reporting. A woman who had an abortion by the late Dr. Ulrich Klopfer says, quote, the wound has been cut open again, close quote. Illinois officials discovered more than 2,000 fetal remains on one of Klopfer's properties. Women are now wondering if the remains belong to them. Klopfer had three clinics across northern Indiana at one time.
In Fort Wayne, Gary, and South Bend, the South Bend location quit performing abortions in 2015 and was closed for good in 2016, the same year Klopfer's medical license was suspended. Right to Life is calling for stricter policies regulating abortion facilities.
A call for Indiana officials to investigate.
I feel like I have been violated all over again.
Patients of Dr. Klopfer's upset about the discovery of more than 2,000 fetal remains found at one of his properties.
Friday night was when I first saw the story. My whole body went numb from shock. That shock turned into lying in bed sobbing at the thought of my baby being on his property.
Right to Life officials asking for Indiana to work with Illinois officials to answer questions many people have about the remains.
Why were these babies being preserved? When and where did these babies die? Did the mothers of these babies know the remains were going to be preserved?
Klopfer had three clinics in Indiana and performed thousands of abortions over decades. Doctors are confused by the finding.
Taking aborted babies home and hiding them is disgusting, horrible, and proves George Klopfer was a psychopath. It is good he is no longer on this earth.
State Senator Liz Brown says this is an example as to why there should be stricter regulations on abortion clinics.
That's why we're calling on an investigation in all of these to make sure that these sorts of crimes are not going to be perpetrated against people in Indiana or anywhere.
As for Serena, she says she's hiring her own attorney to try and get closure.
I'm currently speaking with attorneys in hopes to sue his estate to get DNA testing done to know if my daughter was one of the babies on his property.
Authorities in South Bend told me they'll get involved if they're asked. And Illinois officials say they won't be releasing any more details into the investigation until it's completed.
WSBT 22's Brooke O'Daniel reporting. Hundreds of poll workers are needed for Election Day in St. Joseph County, and local officials are asking you to sign up.
Local election officials that I spoke with say it's a great way to make some extra money while playing a pivotal role in the process of free and fair elections.
If we don't have poll workers, the polls don't open.
Arielle Brandy is the Democratic board member for voter registration in St. Joseph County. She's encouraging people from all parties to sign up as a poll worker. To be eligible, you must be a student 16 and older. And if you're over 18, you must be registered to vote. You also need to live in St. Joseph County.
Even though it's not a presidential election, it's still a local election, which is very important and impactful to your community.
St. Joseph County Circuit Court Clerk Rita Glenn says the number one goal on Election Day is to make sure no one's turned away from the polls. She says poll workers help preserve one of our most important rights as citizens, the right to vote.
It's a long day, but it can be a very rewarding and filling day also.
Poll workers are required to man the polls from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Election Day, November 5th. Open positions include Democratic inspectors, judges, sheriffs, and assistant clerks.
It's a good way to get our foot in the door for next year, which will be a countywide federal election, but every day that somebody can come over and just say, hey, I'm really kind of interested in doing this, we welcome you with open arms, because it is a process that we take and hold very dearly.
Democratic inspectors are paid $160 to work election day. Judges, sheriffs, and assistant clerks are paid $100. Those positions must attend one training session prior. If you'd like to become a poll worker, you can find a link to do so on WSBT.com. And leaders also encourage you to make sure you're registered to vote if you want to exercise your right to vote on November 5th.
WSBT 22's Caroline Torrey reporting. St. Joseph County and the city of South Bend have a new agreement to split the cost of the local contribution toward the double tracking of the South Shore line, while also agreeing to work together on possible locations for another South Shore station in the future. The South Bend Tribune reports an agreement was presented and signed at last Tuesday's county commissioners meeting by two of the three commissioners. It lays out the county's plan to pay $9.1 million through an already approved bond issue, and the city's plan to match with $9.1 million of its own toward the project that's billed as improving commute times to and from Chicago. The new deal supersedes a previous plan from 2017 that would have seen the county cover the full $18.25 million local cost of the double-tracking project, while the city covered the cost of a new station at a yet-to-be-decided location. The project is currently under consideration by the Federal Transit Administration and would see the South Shore line double-tracked between Gary and Michigan City if approved. Commissioner Dave Thomas, who has previously opposed plans to pay the project as part of the four counties that make the local controllers of the train, criticized what he called a wasteful investment. The deal, which still needs to be signed by the city, includes a plan by the county to contribute $9.1 million to the construction of a new South Shore line station at a, quote, mutually agreeable location. A study of two station options, a downtown station previously touted by South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg, and another option on the west side of the airport, is expected to be completed by the end of next month. Castelny said once the study is done, the city and county can move forward on discussions to select a location. The double-tracking project is estimated to cost a total of $312 million if approved by federal authorities. They tell local and state agencies the federal contribution would be roughly 38% rather than past matches of 50%, which led to the state of Indiana increasing its contribution and restructuring the board that governs the railroad. Lake, Porter, LaPorte, and St. Joseph counties have committed to paying $18.25 million apiece toward that project. South Bend plans to put more money into community investment in areas that have seen little investment in the past.
That organization is 466 Works, and they build homes for people who normally wouldn't be able to get a loan. This was part of a push to build support for community investment in areas that haven't previously benefited from it.
It's just a concrete slab and a wooden frame right now, but soon it'll be one of the five homes a group called 466 Works will be building on the city's south side.
We're excited to see a neighborhood change right in front of our eyes.
At a news conference today, Mayor Buttigieg, members of the South Bend Common Council, and other city leaders put their support behind community investment, particularly when it comes to affordable housing in South Bend.
There has to be a place for everybody, and that's crucial to any city. And that melting pot within a community is absolutely integral to the development of our city, the success of our city.
Over the past 2 years, the city has put around $1 million into building homes like these in their partnership with 466. Mayor Buttigieg says the goal is to invest more in areas like the South Side that have been glanced over in years past. He says they're starting with making it easier to own the homes they live in.
In our market, it is more expensive to pay rent on a house than it is to pay mortgage on that same house. The challenge is barriers like the inability to get credit that are stopping people from being able to have home ownership. So those are some of the barriers that as a community we're trying to tear down.
The Common Council addressed the community investment budget at tonight's hearing, which includes $1 million pledge for 466, as well as $2 million in TIF funding for the improvements on the south side.
It's not in the buildings downtown, it's not in the suburbs out in, you know, it is truly within our neighborhoods here that we have to invest and believe in the people in the neighborhoods.
Now 466 Works says construction will begin an additional six homes in the next few months. The city budget will be finalized and voted on later this year.
WSBT 22's Max Lewis reporting.
The views expressed on WSBT's Community Update are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host, WSBT Radio, its staff, or management. Join us again next week on Community Update on The Sports Leader, 96.1 WSBT.